But 1 Samuel chapter 27, 1 Samuel 27. Thank you for praying for these needs and so many others that we've been reminded of from time to time. Tonight I want for us to look again at David the outlaw, but fleeing to the enemy. So David's fleeing from Saul, but now he's going to flee to the Philistines. And that's why I've been telling you that when we run in fear, I'm not saying we should never flee persecution, we should never flee somebody who's hunting us down or whatever, but when you're fleeing in fear, you better be careful because you're going to be vulnerable to bad choices, bad decisions, and that's exactly what we see in David's life here in 1 Samuel 27. Notice it starts here, and David said in his heart, right there's the problem right there, you know, follow your heart. That's bad advice. You know, what does your heart tell you to do? That's a bad question to consider because Jeremiah 17:9 says, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will lie to you every time. That's why I have to make sure our heart is guided by the principles and truths of God's word. So David says in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Well, you know, I guess it didn't really matter that Samuel was told by God to anoint you as the next king. It doesn't really matter that God has already protected you from Saul and several occasions. So it doesn't matter. Notice it says, I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. Notice here weariness is bringing doubt and despair into his life, discouragement. We have to be very careful when we get emotionally weary because we're going to head into despair if we're not careful. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me and seek me anymore in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Notice with me 1 Kings chapter 19. Very familiar story, but I want you to notice some of the very similar wordings and things here. In fact, 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul talks about the fact that when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Now, Paul had Timothy to comfort him. I believe David had Jonathan, but he's not focusing on that. Remember, Jonathan, back in chapter 23, went to David to encourage him and strengthen his hand in God. It says here, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, remember, he's just had a mountaintop experience. He's killed not all the prophets, because 400, Jezebel's prophets didn't show up, you know, to the confrontation. But so he's had a mountaintop experience. It's been raining finally. And notice it says here, verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Notice her threats from the queen, from the government, a tyrannical government. This government threat upon his life. And can I remind you that Proverbs says, fear of man bringeth a snare. Verse 3, it says, when he saw that, notice, we have to get our focus in the right place. When he saw that, his focus was on what Jezebel said and this messenger that came with this message from her. Notice he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Notice now he's totally alone, clear in the southern part of Israel there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, notice, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Notice angel food there, right? Angel food cakes. Ooh, that'd be a good meal. It says, and he looked and behold, with strawberries on top and all that. He looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and notice laid him down again. Notice he needs nourishment and he needs rest. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat, that food, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. All right, so Moses was supposed to be there. Elijah wasn't. In fact, just as you know the story, God himself asks Elijah, what are you doing here? I didn't tell you to come here. What are you doing here? Go back to 1 Samuel 27. I want you to notice again here. Notice again the wording here. It says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Again, he's looking at the circumstance instead of his God. And notice it says, there is nothing better for me than that I should, notice, speedily, what's the next word? We have to be careful of an escape mechanism that we try to find in our lives. Now, some people will escape through alcohol and drugs. Some will escape through immorality and pornography. Some will escape through the world's music. They put their headsets on. They don't have to pay attention to what's going on in the world. I want you to think about this. Some will escape through an obsession with something good. I want you to think about this. We have to be careful of looking for a way to escape, just to merely escape from problems and trials in our lives. Notice something here in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Hold your place, or we're coming right back. Psalm 55, and there's a wording here that I think is very interesting in relation to, in fact, this is a situation with Ahithophel and Absalom. And notice it says here in the first 8 verses, Psalm 55, verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten, notice, my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now, of course, in this psalm, he takes the trials that he's experiencing and casts them on the Lord. It says in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And in fact, as you read down through this psalm, he's talking about his own needs, and he closes it by giving a challenge, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. As we think about this tendency for us to try to escape from trials, we have to be careful because we're going to escape into situations that are not good. And that's exactly what David does here in this situation. And can I remind you what Gad told him back in chapter 22 and verse 5 when he was in the hold? He says, you need to leave here and get to Judah. So why is he leaving Judah here now? God has not told him to do this. In fact, we don't see any evidence here whatsoever that he asks for an ephod, that he asks for direction. He doesn't talk to Gad for counsel. He just says in his heart, I need to get out of here so that Saul will despair. Can I point out that we are very vulnerable when we run in fear? So we have to deal with this fear that's in our hearts because it'll cloud our thinking so that we will not make right decisions. And I want you to notice also something else here, this human reasoning. As he says, Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. Again, that's all human reasoning. He's doing what seems right to him at the time. And can I remind you that situational ethics are never a good thing to make base decisions on. In fact, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with what? All of our heart. David's not doing that. He's counseling himself in his own heart instead of seeking counsel from someone else for another perspective. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. There are so many things in life we will never be able to figure out. So we can't listen to our heart because our heart has a limited perspective on the whole situation. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then what will happen? Then he shall direct thy paths, direct thy steps. Notice again, very clearly, he's using human reasoning to decide what he's going to do as he runs in fear from King Saul. Notice verse 2 then, it says, and David arose, and notice he passed over with the, oh, here's something else about this. He passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Notice here, he does not go to the Philistines by himself. He takes 600 men with him, plus we're going to find out in chapter 30, plus women and children. He's taking entire families to the enemy of Israel. He's making some very bad decisions. No inquiry from God. David forgets the promises of God and past protection. He's making decisions based on his own human reasoning. We have to be very careful because we could take others with us spiritually. When we make bad decisions, we're going to take someone else with us. I think of pastors who have failed morally. For moments of pleasure, they leave their wife, their children. My wife had a former pastor. I mean, he affected the relationship with his wife. He affected the ministry that he had throughout the state of Iowa. He affected the relationship with his children and his grandchildren. He threw a lot away. You think about this. Men, you fail miserably spiritually. Guess what? You take your family down with you. When we make bad decisions like David is doing here, we take others with us into those bad decisions. In fact, it says here that he returns to Achish, king of Gath. Notice with me back in chapter 21. Let's see how this turned out the first time. So why would we try this again? Why is it that when we make bad decisions and wow, that was bad. I shouldn't have done that. We go right back into the same bad decisions again. Notice it says here in verse 10 of chapter 21. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish. Notice the king of Gath. And of course, this is the home of Goliath. So why would we be going there? And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad or insane in their hands and scrabbled. Notice, in their hands, they were trying to take him there. And notice he scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see this man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Now, you think about this. Put yourself in this situation now in chapter 27. David returns to Achish, king of Gath. All right, so I'm sure Achish remembers this just a while back, you know, the time where he was pretending to be mad. I have a feeling that there were some explanations that David had to give to explain what was going on with him at that time. Also, he probably asked for another chance. I made some bad choices. I pretended to be mad in your presence. I'm sure he probably asked for another chance so that he could spend some time there near Gath. And it's possible, even possible, that he assured Achish, you know, we have a common enemy. We have a common enemy, Saul. Saul has hunted me down. We have a common enemy. I don't know what he did to see that Achish would accept him the second time here now. But again, it's very interesting. It says here in verse 3, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Notice again, much more than the 600 went with him to Gath. Even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. Notice verse 4, it says, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and notice he sought no more for him again. Notice sought no more again for David. What I think is very interesting, and you see this in Abraham's life as well and other situations in the Bible. There are times when you go to the world, you get the desired results. And so people will justify, well, see, it worked. Well, let's ask about, you know, let's ask the world how things are going with Ishmael and Isaac. I mean, thousands of years of problems with that bad decision. So many times, the results that you're wanting will come from going to the world. So we have to be careful because David is getting the desired result. You know, I might as well go to the Philistines so that Saul will stop hunting me down. That's exactly what he got. In many cases, the decision will bring the desired results, but there's disastrous consequences as well. Notice it says in verse 5, and David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, why is he seeking grace from the enemy of Israel? Again, as I said last week, we have to be very careful because when we are outlawed in the future, I believe it's very possible in the very near future. So if they outlaw Christianity here in America, think about this. How are we going to respond? Notice it says here, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city Gath with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day, at the time of the writing here of 1 Samuel 27. Hold your place. I want you to notice with me 1 Chronicles 12. There's some interesting things here in relation to this time in Ziklag here. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I want to show you a cross-reference here to this period of time. Very interesting statements here. Notice it says here, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 1. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag. All right, so this is the timing here. While he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Now, these are the ones that are going to go with him into Hebron after King Saul is killed in about a year or so. And it says, they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Even of, notice this, of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Notice, some of the Benjamites are leaving King Saul and going to David. Now, I just wonder this, but you remember back in chapter 22 where Saul basically insults the Benjamites that are around him? Remember he was sitting there with his spear at his side and all that? And he tells these Benjamites that are standing guard for him, that's not a good idea when people are standing guard for you and you insult them. But basically said to them, is David going to give you all this stuff? Is David going to give you what I can give you? And so I just imagine that some of the Benjamites were insulted by all this. You know, King Saul, of course, is very unstable mentally and spiritually. And notice it says here in verse 4, notice Ishmaiah the Gibeonite, Saul's hometown. Notice Ishmaiah leaves Saul's hometown and joins up with David. Notice a mighty man among the 30 and over the 30. Drop down to verse 8. This is a reference possibly back to 1 Samuel 22 on. Notice it says, of the Gadites. So notice all these different tribes are now going to David. Of the Gadites, they're separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions. Notice they had a fierce countenance about them and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. So he's getting some very able men joining up with him. Verse 14, these were the sons of Gad, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100, and the greatest over 1,000. So again, he's assembling here while he's in exile here. He's assembling together some of the mighty men that are going to help him in the early days of the kingdom especially. Verse 15, these are they that went over Jordan in the first month when it overflowed its all his banks. And they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. And there came of the children of Benjamin. Notice again, Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Now, can I remind you that this is after the Ziphites had turned on him a couple times. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers looked thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, and he's going to be important later, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. There fell some of Manasseh to David when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle. This is in the context here shortly after what we're seeing back in 1 Samuel. But they helped them not, for the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, he will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads. So notice in the context of the Philistines sending David out, back out of there, it says, verse 20, as he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, various ones that are listed here. And notice verse 21, and they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host. For at that time, or at that uh, That time, day by day, notice there came to David to help him until it was a great host. Notice the comparison here, like the host of God. You notice here, even when he's in exile, God is still trying to work and transferring the kingdom to David. Now, back in 1 Samuel 27, I want you to notice something else here. Notice it says here in verse 6 again, he has given Ziklag, and it pertained to him the kings of Judah unto this day. Verse 7. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Again, during this time is when a lot of these men and their families joined up with them. And David and his men went up. I want you to notice what happens here in verse 8. David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. Now, I read one source that suggests that these were actually allies of the Philistines. I want you to notice it says he invaded the Geshurites. Notice with me 2 Samuel chapter 3. I want to show you something here that I thought was interesting. And he did not kill all of them. Notice 2 Samuel 3, verse 3. Listening all of the sons that were born to him in Hebron. By the way, in verse 2, Amnon is mentioned there. That was a problem son. Verse 3, and his second, Kileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. The third, notice, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Go back to 1 Samuel 27. Notice David invaded the Geshurites. He married the daughter of the king, Talmai, of the Geshurites. And notice years later, he's going to have heartache from that by way of his son Absalom. And notice the Gezrites. And notice the Amalekites. Of course, in chapter 15, King Saul was supposed to take care of the Amalekites. And David is going to have even more heartache from the Amalekites. It says, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Philistine of Egypt. Okay, so we're talking about southwest Palestine here. It says, David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses, the camels and the apparel, the clothing, and returned and came to Achish. So he's going and doing raids of cities and killing everyone, all the adults in particular. And then going back to Achish, and notice verse 10, and Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? So David and his men are bringing back this bounty that they've received to Achish. So notice, he's providing for Achish. He's taking the spoil to Achish. So he asked the question of David, and David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and again, the south of the Kenites. The Kenites were of the family of the in-laws of Moses. Notice he tells a lie here as well. Notice David saved neither man nor woman alive, verse 11, to bring tidings to Gath. Why? So that the ally of the Philistines would not be able to report on what David was really doing, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. Achish has no reason to disbelieve what David is saying. It says, verse 12, Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. He's telling lies. He's killing people so that they can't report back to Achish. This is not a good time for David in David's life. Notice with me chapter 28 then. All right, so year and 4 months. So while he's there, notice it says here in verse 1, it says, it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Why? Because he's seen how good David is with battle and his men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. I want you my personal guard, David. I'm going to go and attack the Israelites. I want you as my personal guard. Say what? David is in the wrong place. Chapter 29. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And notice the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. They're at the back of the military procession here. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? We are going to attack Hebrews. Why do we have Hebrews with us? What's going on here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days, a year and 4 months? Or these years, and listen, I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. 1 year and 4 months, the enemy of Israel finds no fault in him. You see, he was pretending to be a Philistine around the Philistines. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, with Achish. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, Ziklag, which thou hast appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, unto Saul? All right, so David will find an opportunity to reconcile with his master, King Saul. Notice this statement then, this question. Should it not be with the heads of these men? What are they saying? Remember what David did after he killed Goliath? He goes into King Saul with Goliath's head under his arm. He's carrying this thing around. He takes it to Jerusalem. He's carrying this around with him. Well, evidently, the Philistines knew about that. They heard about that. And notice how he's going to reconcile with Saul. It's going to be with our heads. He's going to take our heads to reconcile with King Saul. Is this not this David, of whom they sang one to another dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Remember, they also said in the last time, is this not David the king? Evidently, they knew that David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. So why David and his band at the back of our procession? Good question. Lord, I pray that you'd help us learn from this time of David's life. Lord, we are very vulnerable when we live in fear, respond in fear to the things going on around us. Very vulnerable to making bad decisions, just like David. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from this situation and, Lord, to seek direction from you in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.